I'd be grateful if you'd pray for me this morning. Lord, bless His Word to our hearts. I sure don't want to just be doing this for the sake of doing it or out of routine. I want the Lord to speak to us when we gather together to feed our souls, to challenge us, to help us to grow in grace and in knowledge and understanding of His will. I spoke last week some about the idea of consecration through the scripture and the thought that we are not our own. We are to be consecrated and live lives consecrated to the Lord, that beyond our purposes and our ambitions, beyond the commonplace uses of this world, beyond any defiled or corrupting purpose, use, influence of our lives, we should give ourselves to the Lord's use. But I'd like, by the Lord's help, to continue kind of in the same theme of consecration, but I'd like for us to consider what it means to be consecrated to the will of God. I'd like to begin in Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26, beginning in the 36th verse. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. I'm thankful that Jesus prayed on. I'm thankful that he went a little further. I'm thankful that he went all the way, until he could say, For your and my sake, thy will be done. You know, before the crown, there is a cross. And before the cross, there is a Gethsemane. And for every one of us, we're going to have a cross. The cross that we're called to bear, it may not look just like his. It may not look like the apostles or the martyrs of old, but we're called to carry a cross and to pick it up daily and follow Jesus. There's glory on the other side of it. Oh, what wondrous glory is in the cross. And there is, as Paul said, there is a crown waiting for me. Not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. But before I gain the crown, I'm going to have to endure the cross. Before I can endure the cross, I'm going to have to be willing to come to my Gethsemane, where I go and I get away from the world and I get away from others and everything, and it's me and the Lord and the angels ministering to me. And there's a death I saw I had to die, a death in which my soul did cry. A place that I've got to come to, that I can die to myself, die to my will, to my desires, to my plans, until I can come to the place where I mean, not in word only, but Lord, I give you permission. Lord, I invite you, work your will in and through my life. Not my will. I'm not here to accomplish my will. Didn't Jesus say in one place, What? Should I pray, Father, remove me from this hour? He said, no, for this very cause I came into this world. It was for this hour. It was for this purpose that I came into this world. So how can I say my only interest is get me out of this? He had to come to the place where he was willing to go to Gethsemane and to fall on his face. Folks, it's not pretty. It's not easy on the flesh. It's a death that we have to die. But oh, the glory that awaits it. We're going to have to be willing to subjugate our will to the will of God. We're all given a will. We're called to exercise our will. Only through that can we be saved. Whosoever will may be saved. But our will is going to have to be subjugated or brought under in submission and subjection to the will of God. Is that unreasonable? On the surface, or when we think about it, is it unreasonable for us to tie our will to God's will? I'd like to look at Isaiah, the 55th chapter. The 8th verse says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." I don't think the same way that you think. I'm not limited in the same ways that you're limited. I believe the Lord is saying here. He's not bound by the same laws that we're bound by, because he's the one that bound the laws. He's not limited by time and space. He supersedes them both. One day, we measure days and hours and years, but a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I don't believe just saying this is a hard and fast translation. Anytime you see one day, that really means 1,000 years. People try to apply that in the creation week, by the way. This is figurative language where the Lord says, my reckoning of time is entirely different than yours. My perspective is entirely different than yours is. Have you ever been in a corn maze? If you drive by a cornfield here in Ohio, you might see it 8-10 feet high. You can get lost in a field of corn pretty easily. Well, different farms and places as attractions will cut into their field of corn a pathway, a maze of paths, of trails through the corn. And you can start out and it just looks like this has got to be the right way. And now I face a fork in the path and I have to go right or left. And I choose left and I go a little ways and there's a dead end. And I have to go back and retrace my steps. And well, only other option, I got to try right. You know, there's a better way to go through life than that. There's a better way to say, well, I'm just going to fumble and bumble my way through it. Well, I don't know, let's just try this way. Well, that sure was a mess. I guess I'll try the other way. But I've been to corn mazes before. I remember one in particular where they had a platform, a deck, that you could climb and it was maybe 20 feet up in the air. You know how much different it looks when you're 20 feet up in the air looking down on a maze of corn? Oh, I can see it so clearly. All right, I've got to go here, there, 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 and I can see it. You know, in life, we're really down in the corn. You and I are down in the corn, but thank the Lord there's one whose ways are higher than our ways. His eyes are higher than our eyes. He's not looking through the corn. He's looking down over it all. And as Job said, he knows the way that I take. He knows it. He knows where I'm at. He knows where I want to get to. And he knows the pitfalls and the dangers and the dead ends that I could hit. You know, it's really in my best interest to tie myself to this God. Lord, I want to know your will. I want to know your ways. I want you to guide my steps. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths. We're going to have to trust in the Lord with all our heart, as the writer said just before that. Lean not into our own understanding. He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I pray today that the Lord will cause these to be more than words, but to apply it to the corn maze of life that I face and that you face, to the situations and the circumstances of life where I'm going to have to make a choice. Do I fight through my way? Or do I come to a place in my Gethsemane where I say, Lord, I throw away my will and I want yours to be done. Matthew, the 6th chapter, we read Jesus' prayer. He said, pray after this manner. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You remember what he said next? The first petition. After hallowing and praising, honoring our Heavenly Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, I think it was thy kingdom come, actually. Maybe it was the second. But at any rate, he prayed and told us that we were to pray as well. Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, God's will is done in heaven and done in the hosts of heaven. I don't believe that there is a murmur of rebellion in heaven or ever was. I believe that this realm is entirely under his dominion and that he has his way among the hosts of heaven. But he gave unto us a will. The ability to choose which way we want to go. And so our prayer daily, along with, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, is, Lord, may your will be done on earth, in my life, in my circumstances, as it is in heaven. I'd like to read a few glimpses of people's lives. There are so many others. Maybe you'll think about, I hope you will. 48th chapter of Genesis is one that I'd like to look at together. Genesis 48, give just a little bit of background. Remember the story of Joseph, whenever he was raised up from out of prison and he was exalted in the kingdom and he was given authority to order the affairs of Egypt in regards to putting away in the storehouses and those flourishing years that they had in preparation for the lean years. And as the lean years came and the famine ravished the land, it also affected Joseph's own family back in Canaan. And his brothers came in fulfillment of the dream that he had, by the way, came and bowed before him and entreated him that he might send some grain, some food for his family. One of the things that Joseph required was that you go and don't you have another brother also? And he required that they bring that brother, Benjamin, as well. Now, whenever Joseph was taken and presumed to be dead, it just about broke Jacob or Israel's heart. Benjamin, and a lot that could be said about the story and the situation, but Benjamin and Joseph were especially dear unto him. Again, it almost broke his heart when he lost Joseph, and Benjamin, he was like the one cherished son that I have left. Well, Joseph required that one son be brought down as well. As possessive as Jacob felt about him and as and didn't want to let him out of his sight, almost, it seemed like was the way that he thought about it. But the brothers came back and shared with him the requirement. Genesis 48. Israel stretched out his right hand and... No, I've got the wrong verse. All right, 43 and 14. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I be bereaved. Whenever he came to the place, it came to the point that he recognized, no matter how dear that Benjamin is to me, this has really gotten beyond my control. You know, there is what I would call an illusion of control. I don't like the feeling of being out of control. When I'm driving, when I'm living life, I don't like to feel like I'm out of control. You know, control to us really is an illusion, though, because there is so much that is outside of our control. We might feel like I'm holding on to this and I'm not going to let it go, and I'm in control of this, and in a moment the Lord can breathe on it and it be gone just like that. But whenever Jacob realized this is what I'm going to have to do, he resigned himself to it and said, if I be bereaved of my children, I be bereaved. Let it be. And he resigned himself to Benjamin going. Book of Esther. Remember what happened in the story of Esther? I believe you might have heard some of that last Sunday evening. Esther, the 4th chapter. The 14th verse. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But if thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day, and I and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. I've accepted this. I've resigned myself to it. He resisted it at first, but her uncle reminded her, you've got a purpose for being in this place at such a time as this. As we already mentioned, Jesus said, is this not why I came into the world? For this purpose, for this hour. Saints, we have a purpose. And this is our hour. Lord, help us to resign ourselves to the will of God being done in our lives, that I might be able to fulfill God's purpose for me. Because it's only going to be done through God's will being performed. And I want us to go beyond resignation, but I want to deal with that a little later. Acts the 21st chapter. Acts chapter 21. The 13th verse. Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Sounds to me like Paul had already found his Gethsemane. I'm ready. There were some others that weren't quite ready yet to let him go. But Paul said, I'm ready, not only to be bound, which thing has fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. I'm ready not only for that. Lord, if that's your will for me, I'm ready to be bound. He wasn't running from it. He wasn't kicking. He wasn't screaming. He wasn't, if you overpower me and I have no other choice, then you'll take me bound, but I'm going to be protesting the whole way. No, the will of the Lord be done. I'm resigned to it. I'm ready for it. But he went on to say, when he would not be persuaded, when they were pleading with Paul, Paul, reconsider. There's danger up there. We feel like something evil is going to befall you. We don't think it's wise for you, Paul, to go up. Folks, it's important for us to be in tune with the Lord for ourselves and get his leadings for myself. Lord, where do you want me to be? Where is the center of your will? And that's where I want to be. If I have to stand alone, if no one else will stand with me, Lord, this is where I have to stand because this is your will. Paul loved these folks, but he wouldn't be persuaded. He had something fixed. He had it settled in his heart and in his mind. And then back to the saints that were praying and coaxing. When they saw he would not be persuaded, they got offended. No. They ceased. They didn't argue with him anymore. They didn't protest any longer. But they ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Amen. Folks, that's a pretty good place to land. It's a pretty good place to end up. We sing a song. Number, I believe, 111. And I want you to think about, as we look at this song for a minute, do you believe this? Do I believe this? I'm not talking as I try to reference fairly often. I'm not talking about just a mental assent. I'm not just talking about, yeah, in my mind I believe this. Do I believe this to the point that it shapes my decisions in life? Do I believe this to the point that I'm able to cease, to be calm and give it to God? God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. It's only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never clearly know. We're in the corn maze. If I had the choosing of my pathway, you know where I'd end up? In blindness, I'd go astray. Wander far away in darkness, nor reach the land of endless day. How many sicknesses would you order for your life? How many times would you wake up and say, Lord, I really need a migraine today. Lord, I really need to fall and twist my ankle today. Lord, I've been going too hard, too fast. Lord, I need you to get my attention through whatever means today. Aren't you thankful there's one who sees the way? There's one that's not just looking at what I'm able to see right now, but he sees the whole picture. And he knows where I'm at on that maze, on that journey to get to the celestial gates. And he's able, if I'll let him, to order my steps according to his will. God's way is best. Oh Lord, help me. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand again the illusion of control. It feels reckless for me to just throw it all into the hands of God. When I feel so out of control, heart, cease thy struggling. Folks, we're called to trust the Lord in so many areas of our life. But trusting the Lord is not just about the things that you can't do. Trusting the Lord is about the things that we're able to do by giving ourselves into the hands of God. And the result of that, I want to just think for a moment about divine healing. Divine healing is a beautiful doctrine and teaching of the Word of God. Not made up by man, not something that came out of the 1880s, something taught by Jesus Himself, passed down and taught in the Word of God. But divine healing is a byproduct. Divine healing is an outcome. Where our focus is to be is the intersection of faith in God and consecration to His will. And when we can submit ourselves, bring ourselves by God's help to live in that intersection of faith in God and of just consecrating my will to Him. God, You have Your way. Think about what David said. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." And what I read from that makes me believe he didn't even realize that before he was afflicted. But looking back on it, he could realize, "Lord, I was headed down the wrong path." You know, that's called mercy. The Lord is able to work His perfect will in our lives if we'll consecrate to that will. Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to Thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. You remember what Gamaliel said to the Jewish rulers, leaders who were protesting about the early morning church? Fifth chapter of Acts, you can read about it. Gamaliel warned him, and he actually, though he was a Jewish man, had not at that time accepted the teachings of Christ. The words that he spoke were wise words. He said something to the effect that, folks, if this is not of God, it's going to come to nothing. But if it is of God, you better watch what you're doing lest you find yourself fighting against God. Yes. Folks, I don't want to be in the category in my life of fighting against God. Now think about what was Jesus asked Saul. Saul, Saul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? It's hard for you to fight so stubbornly and obstinately, trying to plow ahead for your will to be done. How long are you going to kick against the pricks? You know, it's not just the sinner's heart. I've got to examine my own heart sometimes. I'll share a little story with you. This might seem silly to you. You might cluck your tongue and say, "How were you ever so immature?" But I had a vehicle that I wanted to sell. Actually, I had another vehicle I wanted to buy, and I couldn't buy that vehicle until I sold this vehicle. And I just figured, this is the right thing to do, and I want to do it. And I tried. I put it on the market. I put a sign on it. I put it in the parking lot. I advertised it. I put it on, at that time, Craigslist, and I advertised it, I put it out there, and I cleaned it, I polished it, and I had sold a number of vehicles, and thought, not a big deal. We went as we had it on the market, all right, first step done, next step, let's go look at the vehicle that we want to buy, and we met with the people, and oh yeah, we like it, and drove it, and we told them, we want it, we want to buy it. But if you can hold it for a little bit, we just got to sell this one. It's on the market. Somebody messaged, "Hey, I want to buy that. Can I meet?" Well, sure. All right, things are moving along. I went and met him. And to shorten the story, there were over 20 people that came and looked at it. Some that went so far as, "Follow me to the bank. We're going to get the money right now." We even went back and test drove the vehicle we wanted another time. It's in the bank. Tomorrow morning, they're supposed to sign for it, and it fell through over and over and over again. Over 20 times, it fell through. And you know what was happening to me all that time? I was frustrated, aggravated. "You're wasting my time. Come on." And I didn't have a whole lot of peace. It was consuming quite a few of my thoughts, my energy. You know, I finally, after 20 some times, came to the point and said, "Lord, do You not want me to do this?" and I took it off the market. And I told that fella, I'm sorry that I've strung you along this. He was really nice. I'm sorry I strung you along this time wanting to buy this vehicle. I just feel like this isn't the right time and I'm not going to be able to do it. And you know what happened? I had a peace inside. Lord, that's trivial anyway. I don't need to get bogged down in all of this. Your will be done. I'm telling you, this isn't just life-changing decisions. If we don't learn how the smaller decisions of life, Lord, your will be done. And folks, the Lord gives us discretion. I don't believe we have to have an hour-long prayer meeting before I get up. Lord, should I wear this pullover or a button down? Well, we ought to pray when we get up. But the Lord gives us some discretion to make decisions. But we have to learn how to consecrate, to bring my will under the will of God. I don't think there was anything wrong with selling a vehicle and buying another one. Which, by the way, later on down the road, I don't remember how long, a year later or whatever it was, it felt like, again, the need arose that we needed to buy a different vehicle. Lord, would you have us to do this? And Lord, if it is, would you bless in this? You know, I put it on the market, and 2 hours later it was sold. Heart, cease your struggling to see and know and figure it all out and try to force it into what I feel like this is the way that it's got to be. We can forfeit a lot of peace doing that in our lives. You know, along with the illusion of control that attracts us as mankind, feeling like I need to be in control. You know, there's something else that I have found that I've had to fight against, and I believe as mankind, and that is the fear, this fear of losing control. And I've thought about that fear and questioned why. Why am I so afraid to let go? You know, it's one thing if the consequence is putting something in someone's hands that I don't trust at all. You know, I don't trust you any further than I could throw you, but I'm gonna let go and just let you choose whatever you want to do in this situation. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is letting go and letting God. Why am I so afraid to let God? Why am I so afraid to let go myself and say, Lord, you have your will? And I began to realize that maybe this is just unique to myself, but it had to do with my very faith in who God is. Because whether I realized it or not, there was this feeling along with the illusion of control that if I let go, God's going to make something bad happen. If I don't have my way in this, it's going to be the worst possible outcome. Really? Is that the heart of God? Is that the God that we serve? That the only way we're going to have a decent life is if I try to wrench things out of His control and hold it in my own? Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. The children of Israel came through fault of their own into a place that God said, I'm going to bring you into captivity. It doesn't look good. What good could possibly come out of that? Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and the 10th verse, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, and causing you to return to this place. Folks, the Lord looks beyond today. He looks beyond right now. The pain that I feel right now, the difficulty, the thing that I would struggle and wrestle under. The Lord looks beyond that. And He looks to what could be. Folks, I look at it and I say, my automatic reaction will tend to be, Lord, get me out of this. Lord, take this away. And we have a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We need not just stuff it and hold it. I want to go back to a comment I made earlier. Trusting in the Lord is not just about what you can't do. It's about what you can do and giving it to the Lord. Trusting in the Lord for the healing of our bodies is not about what we can't do. It's about what we can do. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You know, I can say, I'm not going to do this, and I am not going to do that. And I can sit there, chafing, and agitated, and irritated. Why am I in this kind of play? Oh, I'm not doing this. I'm not going there. But all the while, there's a turmoil raging inside. Folks, that is not trusting the Lord. There is a depth of trusting the Lord that starts on the inside and says, Lord, your will be done. I believe that you're good. And I believe, Lord, that you are looking not only at the beginning, but you're looking at the end. Lord, I can't order my steps nearly as well as you can. Lord, would you take the wheel? Lord, would you steer right here? Trust in the Lord. What a privilege. I want to hold my place before I get to the next scripture. And I want to get Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Do we believe that one? Folks, God is good. And he does good. I had fainted, I believe the psalmist said, or I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Folks, he is our hope. He is our salvation. He is worthy to be trusted, not because of some expectations on me or some bondage on me. He is worthy to be trusted with my life because he is good. Because his desires for me are good, and he does good in our lives and in the affairs of man. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. The thoughts of peace and not of evil. When the enemy comes along and tries to bring fear of turning everything over to God in prayer and in consecration to his will. But God, what if? You know, I've heard of folks who have said, I felt like God was calling me to preach. I can't go there. I'm scared to get too serious about this. I'm scared to get too deep, to consecrate too far. What if the Lord asked me to do this or asked me to do that? Folks, what is God? Our enemy? He is good and he does good. And whatever God calls us to in life is the very best path that could possibly be taken by us. He's got a purpose to us to fulfill, every one of us. Whatever that purpose is, Lord, help us to be willing to fulfill it. And that comes through more than a big statement. Lord, have your will in my life. Lord, in this little area of my life, have your way. Lord, today, this little thing I'm struggling with, Lord, would you take over? Lord, you know how badly I want to see this. But Lord, I'm going to pray until I can say, I'm willing to take my hands off of it and say, Lord, have your way. He's good and he does good. I want to speak for a moment before we close about the difference, the distinction between resignation and consecration. We can resign ourselves to God's will. And I believe that's kind of what Jacob did. And this is what I've got to do. And I'm going to do it. There can be a just lifeless giving up. I have no other choice. I'm powerless. I can't do anything. And sometimes that's the point that people come to, that they finally say, Lord, I guess it's in your hands. I can't do anything else. I guess it's in your hands. To resign to what God's will. And folks, it's right that we should resign to God's will. You know, it can also, we can be in a place where I get into a depressed, what's the use kind of mindset. Just deflated, what's the use? I'm just going to have to grit my teeth and endure it. Resignation. But there's a place deeper than that that the Lord wants us to get to, and it's called consecration. That's driven by love. Jesus prayed to His Father once something to the effect, He said, that they may know that I love Thee. Let them see that I obey Your will, or something to that effect, that they may see that I love Thee. John 14 and 31. It comes from a place of love. Consecration. It's why faith works by love. The place of consecration stems from a heart of love. Resignation says, I have to. Submission says, I really should. But consecration says, I'm pleased to. I delight to. We can see the difference in Paul. Whenever Paul prayed three times, and the Lord finally said, my grace is sufficient. Folks, we can pray and bring our petition for healing, for whatever my desire, bring it to the Lord. And pray and seek God. And our heart should be to seek, Lord, what is Your will in this? What is Your plan in this? And once Paul learned what that plan was, he said, I will rather therefore glory in my infirmities. That's consecration. Not just, all right, God put this on me and I'm just going to have to bear it. But Lord, I'm going to go from there to I want to glory in this. I want Your name to be glorified. I want You to get everything out of this that You can possibly get. Lord, get all the mileage out of this situation that You can. And I'll glory in it. I'll rejoice in it. Folks, what I'm preaching to you, I say and have been saying, Lord, help me. These things aren't just, we just come by them naturally. I'm going to think about what the psalmist said in Psalms 40 and 8. He said, I delight, O Lord, to do Thy will. Folks, do we delight to do God's will, or are we scared of it? Do we tend to shy away from it and try to kind of skirt around it? And I'm going to pray about it, but I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm really kind of praying, Lord, align Your will with my will here. We're not to subjugate God's wills to ours. We're to subjugate our will to God's. I'd like to close in John, the 4th chapter. John 4 in the 34th verse. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That's what I'm here for. That is my meat. It's my sustenance. It's what I live for. Is God's will that important to us? God's will being performed, whatever that is, God's will being performed in my heart and my life, is that of that same level of importance to us? We'll sing a song, number 114, the 4th verse says, to do Thy will, my highest aim. May the Lord help us this morning, this afternoon, that we'll be challenged to consecrate ourselves to the will of God. Not just to reluctantly accept and resign ourselves, but to consecrate our life, our purposes, our plans, our desires, the things that we ask for, to lay it on the altar of consecration before God. And be willing and able to say, not my will, but Thine be done. Pray for me. Amen.